thanks for listening to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And one of the themes we're talking about this month is optimism and how to have it when life doesn't really go your way. So far, we've covered how to not hold a grudge, how to worry less. And today, we're talking about a situation that would be very easy to both hold a grudge and worry a lot in. One of my friends from college, Miriam Blanco, lives in LA now, and she was born with cerebral palsy. She's in a wheelchair and is unable to do many physical things that her friends and family can do, but she hasn't let that stop her from living a full and happy life. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen Miriam without a smile on her face, and she's on the phone with us today to talk about this. How old do you think you were when you first realized that life was going to be a little bit different for you because of your condition?
Well, that's an interesting question because as a kid, I don't think it fazed me so much. I tried to do everything else that everyone did. And back then, I was walking around more. I still had, limited abilities, but I was able to do a little more. And so I think I was trying to keep up. And, you know, when you're kids, I feel like people don't point out differences so much as, when you're older. And so for a long time, I wasn't really aware of there being a huge difference, because sort of as I grew up, got out of elementary school and, you know, everyone started to develop different hobbies. And I feel like then I sort of started to narrow my view on what I could do and what I couldn't do.
How did that make you feel initially versus how you feel about it now?
Back then, I think I was still kind of innocent to it, and really just what I wanted to do was, not be left out, you know, which is why I, tell the story of learning how to swim, because a lot of the decisions I made at the time, in that time in my life, were motivated, what my friends are doing, and so I didn't want to miss out. I was, kind of going beyond what I perceived to be my physical limits just so that I wouldn't be left out.
And tell us a little bit more about that experience you had learning how to swim and what motivated that.
I took lessons when I was really little for therapy, and I didn't end up learning how to swim, which is kind of disappointing, I think, for everyone else involved. It wasn't until I was in those preteen years that I went to a birthday party. You know, I was used to just hanging out in the shallow end. All my friends were jumping in the deep end, and there was a diving board, and everything just looked so much fun, and there I was in the shallow end, really not living it up. I was just thinking, you know, I feel the only thing, I have no reason to believe that I can't do it. I've tried several times, and maybe I wasn't successful back in the day when I was four, but this is a good place to try it out, because I've got, you know, friends who will help me, who will save me if this doesn't go well. You know, what's there to lose? So I told one of my friends, I'm going to go off the diving board. No one even thought, oh, Miriam doesn't know how to swim. This isn't a good idea. They were just really supportive about it. We got you. So we walked to the edge of the diving board, and I jumped off. The way I think of it now is that I didn't really give myself a chance to figure out doing it, because I was always in the safety of the shallow zone. I was always with a floaty. So I never really tested it out if I could swim or not. I just assumed I couldn't. This was the moment that I figured it out, that I could do this. It wasn't that I physically couldn't, it's that I was afraid to try. But I got out and did it again, and ever since then, there's been a lot of times in my life that that was my main form of exercise, and I really loved doing it because I could.
Right, and I liked how you said it wasn't your physical limitations that held you back necessarily. It was more a fear of, you know, maybe trying something new and failing at it, or just that mentality that you assumed you couldn't do it. And I'm so glad you were able to push past that and try this out. And now it's been a great thing for you. What other new things have you learned how to do?
Well, it's funny we're having this conversation right now, because I've been in the gym a lot. Usually I'll get in there and just kind of do my own thing, what I think I can do. But now I'm just kind of in this place that I like to test what I can and can't do, and sort of push myself in that. And the other day, I actually was working with a trainer who, she was asking what are some things just in the gym that I'd like to be able to do that I can't, or I'm like nervous to try. So we went over and we were trying these leg curls, and that's something that's like naturally a really hard motion for me, but it's really cool because I was talking with this trainer about it, how like I really wanted to do it, but I wasn't sure how to, and like I knew I didn't have a lot of strength in my hamstrings, but I wanted to try it because it's something that I've tried before and it's been hard, and I felt like it was a good goal to have. And so she sort of coached me through how to do something like that. And we talked about how a lot of it's like very mental, in that it'll stop you from the beginning to say that you can't do it, you know, because then you're thinking the whole time, I can't do this. It was interesting because she had like told me like what muscles to activate this muscle first, and then let's go from there. And the more she like coached me through doing it correctly, the more success I had in actually pulling that weight. And I sort of took that and applied the same principle. I went and did some other machines in the gym that I have a really hard time with, just like engaging muscles that I naturally won't, just because of whatever disconnect I have neurologically. So yeah, that's been a really cool experience for me, just getting in the gym every day and sort of testing what it is I can do at the time and then going back to it.
That's so awesome that you're able to, that you want to, you know, test your limits and keep trying new things. I think one of my favorite quotes is from Ernest Shackleton, who is an explorer, and he said, "Optimism is true moral courage." And I love that you're able to kind of look at this situation and say, hey, I'm going to go forward, I'm going to be brave and try all these new things. And it sounds like you're a generally really happy person, and you're really optimistic from all the times that I've interacted with you and that I've known you. And what do you think your secret is for being so optimistic and happy?
I would say there's actually a few things. One would be perspective. When I was younger, I had started treatment. Like I told you before, I didn't really become aware of my situation until I was like kind of getting out of elementary school. So I really didn't know a lot about, I don't know what I was dealing with, what was happening with my body. But I went to a special hospital in Philadelphia when I was a kid, and I went into the waiting area for the outpatient clinic. This hospital is supposed to be like treating, I was told that they treat kids with a lot of like similar disorders to my own. So I was like really interested going in there and seeing kids that I felt just like visually they were in far worse condition than I was. And it was like a very defining moment for me, because in that experience, I realized that I had so much. I just left and I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing here, because I'm in fantastic condition. Like, I can do everything that I want to. So I don't see a reason that I shouldn't. That just sort of was the beginning of living my life as though nothing was wrong. For instance, because I have the use of my hands and I have the use of my mind, like, those are things that I really value. And as you know, like when we were in college together, those are things that I really emphasized what I could do with them, my thinking abilities and what I could make with my hands, because to me it was like, I have these, and there's so many people that don't. I went to a sacrament meeting once, and a guy was giving a talk about having a positive attitude. And at the very end of his talk, he said something that is like stuck with me. He said that there's so many things in this life that we try and base our attitude on. So we say, like, it's very conditional. If you have a positive attitude because of the atonement, that's like the one thing that you can never refute. It's not going away. It's not happening today. It's not that it's only today, not tomorrow. It's forever, you know? And that's something that I've tried to think about daily, just sort of, I guess, like since I've left college and the more that I've been on my own, is that that's 100% up to me. Like, we all have our days, but if I can just end on it with being grateful for that, and that, you know, this is only temporary, that's something that's definitely made an impact in who I've become and why I try and do all that I have.
thank you so much for talking with us today. I think that's a really good note to end on. So if you are curious about finding more about optimism, you can tune into Mormon Channel Daily all month long, where we'll be talking about different topics. And our quote of the day is from President Gordon B. Hinckley. And he says, "I am asking that we stop seeking out the storms and enjoy more fully the sunlight." Thanks for being with us today, Miriam.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.